Of course, we had the kids in here, and you could tell by the music we changed it just a bit. Did you all like that? Yeah. They did great. Can any of you see the kids up here in the front row? I couldn't see them. They're behind me, but I could feel them. The floor was vibrating. They were awesome. They were great, weren't they? But today we've dedicated the day to set aside our children. And more importantly, to set aside you all as parents and as guardians over these children. And there's an awesome responsibility that you have. Now, if you're sitting there going, no, those kids are mine, but let me tell you, you still have a responsibility here. See, our world that we live in now is tearing apart our families. We are seeing a total devastation and destruction of homes, where moms and dads are no longer getting along and they're separating and going their own ways, and kids are trying to make decisions based on where their mom and dad might be. We're seeing parents and their parents in arguments and fights, and children being left out and not having a relationship with their own grandparents. And grandparents that are so stubborn that they're making decisions not to interact with their own grandchildren. Let's go back a little bit to God's Word, and let's see how God designed families. It's real simple. Go back in the early parts of God's Word in the book of Genesis, and you'll see that God said, hey, let's have mom, dad, and them. They're going to have children. And that was great. But then the next part that you go to, it starts talking about the tribes. And see, a tribe is a group of people with a common bond, with a common name, and that they live together, and they support and they care for one another beyond just caring for themselves and their own. Because see, in our world today, we don't see that at all. You know, we have heard, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. And we go, oh man, that's horrible. We don't like that. But in reality, it takes a church. It takes a common group of people with a common name called Christian to raise children. That you all, as adults, have responsibilities for the little ones. So there's a story in the New Testament where Jesus, he's about age 12, and God himself goes into town, and with all the family, the whole tribe, they're going to go in and take care of some stuff. And then the family leaves, and Jesus stays behind. And the scripture said it went 3 days before the parents knew he was gone. And we go, oh, what a horrible parents. Can you believe that the mother and father, stepfather of Jesus left him and didn't know he was gone for 3 days? How does that happen? What horrible parents. Let's call, you know, 241 kids and report them for being awful parents. But see, you understand the culture of that day is it was a group. It was a unit of people that would travel together. And everybody had their role. When they would travel, the guys were out front. They're doing the scouting, the protecting. They're trying to make sure everything's going well and that everything's moving well. The women are doing their things. The little kids out there chasing the goats and making sure they're going their direction. Everybody had their role when they would move as groups. And Jesus pulled back. He had something a little more important to do. And then when they're doing the head count, 1, 2, 6, 12, 14, where'd he go? I can imagine, I forgot who it was first. You know, they got the number thing down. And, oh, it's Jesus. Let's go find him. And they went back and they found him. He's in the temple and things worked out great. And there's a whole story that you need to go study. But the concept that we're going to look at today is that the entire unit, the parents have a responsibility. They have a great responsibility, but also the group of people that they're around have a responsibility too. And that includes you. Dawn's going to come. She's going to share a little bit about the parental responsibility first.
Good morning, everyone. I know that a lot of times we talk about children being gifts from God. And I think that that is entirely appropriate, except that you, most of the time, you know, don't like to return gifts. That is, you get to keep them, right? Well, that's not the case with our children. They are on loan from God. We are meant to return them to God, okay? And that is a very heavy responsibility for parents. It can be overwhelming at times. The thought of it kind of has me a little scared about what that really entails. And a lot of us may say, as parents, what exactly does that mean? How do I be a parent that can return my child to God? I think the easiest way to do that is to follow the best example we have. We need to parent like God does. We need to look for examples of God's parenting techniques in the Bible. If you guys turn over your bulletin, you'll notice that we don't really have any sermon notes to fill in. That's because we left it blank. So you could write as much as you guys want to today, all right? I don't want you to miss a thing. So if I see you heads bent down and you're taking notes, that's awesome. What I want you to do for my section is I want you to write down 4 words for me. I want you to write down love, teach, correct, and forgive. All right? If you don't remember anything else from what I say today, I want you to remember those 4 words. All right? So I'm going to go into the scripture a little bit and talk about what I mean by loving your children. If you look at John chapter 15, verse 9, it says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love." That's Jesus talking there, and he's saying, "My Father loved me." God loved us so much that he sent his Son. And his Son loved us so much that he willingly died for us. That is sacrificial and unconditional love. That's how we need to love our children. It's simple. We just need to do it. In addition, the Bible speaks about how we should teach our children. In Proverbs 22, verse 6, it says, "Train a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it, turn from it." So that's what we're supposed to do. The question is now, how do we do that? Because that sounds really easy, right? In Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9, God speaking to the people. He says, "These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your doorframes of your houses and on your gates." The how is speak to them. Tell them what you want them to know. Show them. You don't necessarily have to tie anything on your hands or your forehead, but use actions to teach your children what you want them to know. Some of you may ask, "Oh, how often do I have to do this?" Just Sunday mornings, right? Yeah, nope. You're supposed to do that anytime, all the time. You can do that anywhere. You should be doing it everywhere. But the most important thing I want to let you parents know is that sometimes your children learn from you when you're not expecting them to. All right? Yeah, you guys know what I mean. So what I did the other day is I polled the kids, and I wanted them to tell me what you were teaching them at home. Okay, I see some chuckles. I didn't really do that. I wanted to see what you would think. Because I definitely wouldn't ask my kids that either. So, but that's the idea, is that you shouldn't be acting any different on Sunday morning than you do the rest of the week. You shouldn't be acting any different at work than what you do at home. These kids have detectors built in that can tell when you're lying and you're not acting how you say to act. That whole "do as I say, not as I do," you guys have heard that before, right? It doesn't fly with this age group. If you want them to do something, you need to be willing to do it as well. So step up, parents. Sometimes, even though we try to teach them, it doesn't always take. And kids, I want to talk to you guys about this, all right? In the Bible, God gives parents permission to do something that we talked about last week in youth group, all right? It says in Proverbs 3:2, "Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son." So kids, guess what? Mom and dad have permission to discipline you and punish you. And they do this because they love you. If they're not doing this, you need to tell them that you need it from them. Parents, set boundaries, set rules, and stick with them. When your child steps across that line, call them on it and punish them. They've all heard it and are expecting it, okay? Not an easy thing to do sometimes, I know from experience. I don't like to punish my kids, but it's a necessary thing to do. But as we know, children don't always meet all of our expectations. And that's when we need to forgive them. Matthew 6:12, part of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. So I'm going to show of hands. How many of you guys have never in your life, I know some of our older, but when you were younger, never disobeyed your parents? What? Oh, wait, hold those hands higher because I can't see them back there. Curtis, really? You want to go there? All right. So we are not blameless. Our children are not going to be blameless. Offer them forgiveness. It's not an easy thing to do. And when you get to that process, go back and start all over again. Love them, teach them, correct them, and forgive them. And I know sometimes it happens with me. I get to the end of my rope. I'm sure that happened with my mom and dad. I don't know how many times I was told to put my shoes away. They usually ended up right outside the front door, right inside the front door, and my dad would trip over them when he came home from work. And it got to the point that he would chuck them outdoors when he came in. Because he told me so many times, it was driving him crazy. That happens with us as parents. What I want parents to know today is that you're not alone. There is help. And for that help, all you need to do is turn to your church family.
Well, as you know, Don and I have our jobs here because one of the things that we love is kids. And we've taken jobs here, so we have responsibilities, certain responsibilities with your kids, everybody else's kids. But it doesn't just stop with us. Everybody in here has a responsibility when it comes to children. And you may think, well, what does that mean for me? Well, I'm going to read a scripture here out of 1 Corinthians 12, verses 24 to 26. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. We are in this together. And Joby kind of got on the fact that it used to be one unit, one clan, one people looking after everybody else's kids. We, you know, you had biological parents, but you had 50 other sets of parents that were looking out for you. Okay? Not just to correct you and discipline you, but to help you out. And so this is where we all have responsibilities. We can hold parents accountable. Okay? The Bible specifically tells us, if you see a brother or sister that's stepping out of line, you have the right and the responsibility to help get them back in line. Not so that you can prove how good of a Christian you are, but because we all need help and we have to be held accountable for what we're doing. And so you say, well, if I have a responsibility, what does that look like? All right, and I want you to write one thing down. I want you to write down, I can't do everything, but I can do something. Okay, right now, I can't do everything, but I can do something. Because I know full well that most people in this room probably can't stay up all night with 20 junior hires or so running around, and they're, you know, you're just perfect, your body can handle it, it's all good. Okay? That's fine. Not everyone has to be a youth coach. Not everybody has to be, you know, help at a lock-in. All right? I obviously appreciate those people very much, okay, because they help me a lot in those situations. But everybody's got talents. You may say, well, I'm really good at baking or cooking. Okay? There may be times when we need someone to bring food for youth group, or, you know, sometimes we have people that bring food in the morning for lock-ins, or somebody bakes something for someone's birthday. There's all sorts of different talents. Maybe you're someone you say, you know, I always know who's in need. I always know of people who are in need. Man, come tell me. If it's something, you know, this little old lady can't mow her yard, and, you know, she just needs somebody to mow her yard. She doesn't have a lot of money. She can't pay a landscaping company to come in. Tell me. I can get guys from the youth group to go mow their yard. We got plenty of young, well-abled bodies over here. Right? They haven't been worn out yet. Okay, they can stay up all night without blinking an eye. Okay? We can use them. All right? Not slave labor, but pretty close. Okay? It may be even, you may think, well, it's so little. I've got free time during the week. what can I do? I don't really have any talents. If you can come in and you can organize craft materials or help Don cut out, you know, things of paper, just cutting things up. I mean, there's all sorts of things that you can do to use your talents, no matter how big or small you may think they are, to help us out. Because God has given us an opportunity to impact the lives of our youth with our talents. And we have to use those opportunities. To take it one step further, even with those responsibilities, one of the things that I'm sure some of us in this room have said or heard someone else say is, well, you can't tell me how to parent. That's my kid. You don't tell him what to do. And that's not a very good attitude to have for those people, because we need help. As soon as you have that attitude of pride, okay, that's going to cause you to fall. And one of the things that, you know, that happens with is, you know, sometimes kids are not in the same room as their parents, and you got one kid who pushes another kid. It's okay to tell that kid it's not okay to push. That's not a matter of opinion, that you just think that's how you parent. You can tell them that, okay? And if a kid says, famous, well, you're not my mom, or you're not my dad, you can't tell me to do it, say, yeah, but your mom's not here right now, so I'm going to tell you to stop, and then I'm going to go tell them, all right? That's okay. As parents, you think, well, I don't want to be a tattletale. I don't want to get the kids in trouble. It's our responsibility to help each other out. We need to get these kids the right examples. And one of the biggest reasons is a verse here I'm going to read in Matthew 18, 5 and 6. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. That's pretty serious. That's pretty serious stuff Jesus is talking about, okay? If you're going to cause a little one to stumble, please drown yourself now. We encourage that, okay? Because you're doing no one any good, okay? You please just and that's funny to me. They just says, just drown yourself. But it's pretty serious because, as I often do, I try and keep up with youth culture and what's happening with these guys today. All right, they may not know it, but I try and keep up, not so I can be cool, but so I can as best possible understand what goes through their brains. But there's a band that I just heard a song from. They're called New Politics, and this is literally the lyrics from a part of their song. So kids, don't listen to your parents. The parents can't teach us. All they ever left was a world in a mess. These are the kind of messages that is being thrown at our kids every day. Okay? They've got cell phones. They get on the internet. Okay? Sometimes they may not even know it. If you listen to music a lot, you should really focus on lyrics the next time you're listening to anything that's secular and not Christian, because you might be amazed at what you hear. Okay? Things like this. Okay? That's pretty blatant, pretty obvious, but everybody's trying to send a worldview to our kids, and these are things that we have to exemplify the opposite of. They give our kids messages like, I need more toys. I need new clothes. I need the coolest phone. I need new video games. I'm not beautiful the way I am. I'm too fat. If I love him, I'll sleep with him. If she sleeps with me, then I'll be a man. Making fun of people is cool. My parents can't really understand me. Life isn't worth living if I'm not popular. And I'm not worth anything. Those are horrible things. They're horrible. We have to exemplify exactly the opposite of those. We have to let our kids know how worthwhile they are. Okay? I see Brandon and Joe, you guys are kind of laughing. Okay? You are. You're so worthwhile. All right? And that's serious. But that's why, by helping out, by taking responsibility to, you know, I can't necessarily do everything, but I can do something. I can do something to use my talent to impact the lives of these students so that they can know Christ better. All right, so there's lots of opportunities out there, and we will have an opportunity for you to know about that.
One thing that happens is when a rubber hits the road, we go, how do I do this? I'll be honest, I'm a parent. I have two children, one going to be 18 years old. Terrifies me, guys. I tell you the truth. You see, he's in here somewhere, should be. It's terrifying. You know, If you looked at us standing side by side, he's taller than I am by a little bit. And he's putting some size on. And my other one that's younger is bigger. And we're releasing them into the world. And it scares me to death. I go, have I done everything right? The answer is no. I got that one figured out. And there's things that are going on in their lives, and there's examples I don't know how to handle yet. I mean, we had a discussion about 2 weeks ago out here, and all of a sudden he went, and that chest puffed up. Oh, I'm like, son, you really don't want to go there. And it puffed up, and it was a direct challenge. And I'm like, man, do you want to go see Jesus today? You know, all these things are going through my head. I just want to grab a hold of him and just. I haven't dealt with this yet. You know, I have to look to guys like Mike Ladd, who had to deal with Logan. Tom Straub had to deal with Tommy. And them some big boys. They're bigger than their dads, too. How'd you guys do it and survive, you know? I have to look for people to be the examples that I could say, you know, I need to tap into you. You have information that could help me do a better job as a parent. And I look in this room, and I see other guys. I go, you did a good job. Not perfect, but you can help me through some of the things. Folks, you have to be willing to impart some information. That's how you're going to bond with us. That's how you're going to do a part of your job with us. And people like me have to say, you know, I need the help. I can't be so full of pride that I know how to raise my kids. Don's teaching, we got to love. We got to correct. We got to teach. But we also have to forgive. They're going to mess up. Y'all have messed up. I can tell you stories that I've heard from kids and even in my own life where grandparents and parents go, it's their responsibility to talk to me, not me to talk to them. They have phones. They could call me. Who's the adult here? Who's the adult? You are. We are. We need to respond towards the children, not make children respond towards us. It's our responsibility as adults to care enough about what God has given us and to do our part. Every one of you have a responsibility to participate in every child's life in this congregation. It is your, when you walk in that door and you say, I'm a part of this family of believers, it is your job at that moment in time. Because you know what? I'm not going to always be out in the public. I'm not going to be at Kroger's or Walmart or wherever where you might be and you might see my child doing something stupid. I want them corrected because I want them to come home. And I need your help. And you may see that child, somebody, I hate to say it, another adult grab them and try to run away with them. Did anybody watch Dateline this week? They had a video on where two actors, a little child actor, an 11-year-old girl, and a man walked up to her and grabbed her by the hand and started dragging her down the street. And she's screaming, help me, this is not my daddy. And guess what? People turned and looked and then turned their back as they put the little girl in the van. That's the world we live in. It's your responsibility, according to God's word, to participate and protect these kids, to love them and instruct them so they know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, so when they can leave this world and go to the next. So we can all worship Christ together in heaven. That's your responsibility. Question: are you going to step up and do it? I know you can't do it without having a relationship yourself to God. You have to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior first and foremost. Because if you don't know Him, the one that loved us so much and gave us life, you will not be able to respond properly and love the children like you need to. We're going to give you an opportunity to do that today. We're going to hear in a few minutes. We're going to have a hymn of decision. You can make your decision what your role going to be. But, you know, many of you go, man, I'm there. I'm all over it. I know Jesus. I love Jesus. And I'm good with that. We're going to challenge you one step further. I don't know if when you walked in, you probably saw signs in the foyer that are hanging up and podiums in front of it. Those are for you to say, you know what? I'm not only going to serve with my mouth. I'm going to serve with my actions. And see, there's one that says nursery. You could walk in and say, I'm going to help watch these kids in the nursery so that the parents could be taught somewhere else. I'm going to go over to the children's department or the junior high and senior high department. They're looped around out there. And you can participate in ministry in raising these kids. See, it's more than just with words. It's with actions. You have the opportunity to do it. So when you leave here, look, Don, John, some other volunteers are going to be out there looking for you, needing your help to watch out for these precious ones. But it all starts with your decision. So I'm going to have a moment. We're going to pray here in just a second. And I want you to contemplate what God's talking about in your life right now. What is he touching in your heart, telling you you need to do? If you need him first, come on up front. We have elders that are here that will help instruct you about what you need. If you want to volunteer, it's ready when you go out there. Let's pray for a moment. God, we come to you this day. You're an amazing and awesome God.